Program is sponsored by LBO Academy.
This is the Lifestyle Business Owner Show, where we talk about the street smarts of small business. Your hosts are Aaron and Mayumi Moeller, owners of 8 companies that run without them, and founders of the LBO Academy. It's your turn to discover how you can own a business that runs without you. Now, here's Aaron and Mayumi.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Aaron Moeller with the Lifestyle Business Owner Show, where we talk about the street smarts of small business. If you can't listen to this entire show today, you can always go to lboradio.com. That's lboradio.com and get this episode and any other previous episode we got. Also, you can go to YouTube, the Lifestyle Business Owner on YouTube. Subscribe to us. You'll get all these different episodes of the radio show as well. Our guest today is Eileen Mendel. She's a business strategist, life mastery consultant, motivational speaker, and author. She works with individuals and organizations, teaching them how to use transformational tools to develop a strategic business and life plan that will result in higher performance, increased productivity, and greater fulfillment. Also, we have my co-host, Mayumi Moeller. She's not only my business partner, but also my partner in life. She's an amazing woman, a true hustler, and if I didn't have her by my side, I'd be lost, and I would never have the success I do. Mayumi, why don't you say hi to everyone?
Aw, thank you, honey. Good afternoon, everyone. I am so excited to have Eileen on the show. Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for being on our show this afternoon. I'm so excited just because I love what you do. I love...
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's a different spin on it, right?
It is. And I'm sure our listeners want to know, right? So the secrets to spur sustainable high business growth that no one ever talks about.
Yes, I'm excited to talk about it. And I've never shared this beyond my client base, but I'm going to be writing an ebook shortly that will talk about these little tips and tricks that I've learned over 30 years of working with small businesses.
I love it. We're going to get into a little bit of your background. I've just got to say there was something that was on your website that really stood out to me, and I don't know if you came up with the slogan or you grabbed it from somewhere, but I thought it was really, really cool. You said, align your soul, manifest your goal. Was that yours, or did you get that from somebody?
That's my own personal mantra.
I love that.
I use this on my website because whatever you do, you have to be passionate about it. It has to be part of your overall, what I'm going to call your overall dream or vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to come from deep within your soul. You have to really want it.
That's awesome.
So I see that you were formerly a high-paid corporate insider and expert on scaling businesses for a couple decades, right? And so now you're a coach, entrepreneur, and let's see, how did this all come from going from corporate America to becoming where you're at right now?
I'm working with smaller businesses.
Well, actually, I was with corporate America during my early stages of my career, in short spurts, because I worked for a number of companies where I knew I was not a good fit overall for a large firm, but I was able to get the training and understand how the inside of a large firm works.
So
I've worked for the pharmaceutical industry. I also worked for the financial industry as a wealth advisor. So I knew the ins and outs of particularly, and also I've worked inside some small high-tech companies, how they operate, what makes them successful, the process is for bringing in outside people, what the problems are. And so then when I figured all that out, I realized I have enough information to guide other small businesses. And in the meantime, I had started my own consulting practice after I'd worked for some large pharmaceutical companies and directed my focus strictly into that industry because I knew that industry like the back of my hand, the biopharmaceutical industry. So I was able to maneuver you know, and get in and out of the industry, knowing how they hire people, what they're looking for, what, you know, I need to address, how to present myself, and other things that I found out. So when you start working in one industry, and of course, some of the same things that you learn in one industry cuts across many industries, because I worked in the area of marketing and business development.
Sure. And you can do that with any size of business, really. And just like I said, you brought this larger corporate style and the things that you learn there, and you can bring it into smaller businesses that a lot of times don't recognize a lot of the things that these big corporations do. And so you're helping small businesses think bigger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that the notes I have here is you basically help people, bring their company to like a seven-figure type size business, but also helping them maintain the inner peace and harmony. So what does that mean when you do that for somebody? What's the inner peace and harmony? How does that fit with the growth of the company?
Okay, so when I built my first business, and I didn't really know what I was doing, so this was my very, very first business. After I'd worked for Bristol Myers Squibb as a senior manager, and I learned the hard way, and also through the help of business advisors, how to tweak my business to get the momentum. And I had year after year growth of 100%.
Wow.
My first year in business, you know, I was making, you know, I was making $60,000. Second year, $125,000. By the third year, I was already making $250,000 a year.
Wow.
Nice.
And that's phenomenal, because, you know, I know that many businesses, small businesses, struggle even getting to, you know, five or six figures. I mean, the higher five or even low six figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned back, you know, in those early days, like what, you know, I made a lot of mistakes. You know, I made some big mistakes, which I had to, you know, pay for, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I also learned the right way to do things through my own mistakes. And that's why another reason why I started this company that I currently have, which is InnerEdge International, because I have the inside knowledge now of knowing what not to do and what to do. So you don't waste time and money, because every mistake wastes time and money.
Mm-hmm.
And a small business cannot afford to do that.
And so that's the peace and harmony, because you're teaching them how to do it and not make as many mistakes, so that they have a little bit more peace in that whole process of growing their company. Is that what you
say? Yeah, being more efficient with their resources.
Mm-hmm.
But also another thing, when I was building my company, I had a partner. I brought a partner in a little bit less than a year into my business. And we decided that we were going to, you know, intertwine having fun into the business while we were building the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would do things like we would go on, you know, my partner and I would go on hikes sometimes and, you know, do and discuss business while we were going on a nature hike.
Mm-hmm.
We would have breakfast meetings, and we would meet also some of our clients or referral people at the breakfast meetings and get other ideas, or that's where we would generate a lot of creative ideas. There was always opportunities where there was time out, where it wasn't a 9-to-5. Even though we showed up at the office very early, we had long hours. I can
right.
tell you that. But we put in those hours knowing that we were going to have some fun also.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all serious, you know, where we would actually take time out, and there was a little place downstairs from our office where we would play pinball and challenge some of our employees. Do you want to have a little pinball competition, just to break
the monotony,
the seriousness,
right,
and the monotony of the job. And I wish I had the pinball machines in the company itself, because I know some of my actually fellow business owners that actually buy pinball machines. They do that, or they buy ping pong tables.
Yeah.
Competitions, you know, as a break where people can get the stress and frustration out.
Absolutely. No, I think
love
that's
that.
Great.
I
so
love that.
I know that you teach your clients like a technique, something called the three-legged stool. So what is that? And tell us how that works.
Okay, so that came about when I was building my business, and I brought in five advisors into my business.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the advisors, I would have meetings one-on-one with my advisors, as well as board meetings with the advisors. And this one advisor said, Eileen, you know, you're probably going through a cycle just like most businesses, mm-hmm. where your revenues are going up. You're doing the projects, you're doing the business, you're getting paid, and then you've stopped your marketing during that time period because all your resources are being used to finish up the project.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got your revenues, your cash flow is going down again, and it's an up and down roller coaster. She said, you've got to smooth that out by having more than one type of product or service going on at a time.
Mm.
I said, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we did, you know, we published books. We had the book business. We had, there was, you know, speaking business and also the consulting business. So, and that's what I do today is I just started a podcast and I've been speaking face to face, but the podcast allows me to speak to a broader audience. And I am in the process of writing, you know, some ebooks.
So the three-legged stool is like three forms
of
businesses, like so that you can like not
revenue streams
have all of your eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
Okay.
Revenue streams, so that when one is at a low, another one is at a high. So you continue to smooth out your revenue stream.
Mm-hmm.
And the other key thing is you want to get to the point, and this is the most difficult part, of 10 loyal clients. 10.
Oh, you guys, 10 loyal. You know what?
Business.
We are talking to Eileen Mendel. She's a business strategist, life mastery consultant, motivational speaker, and author. And we are discussing the secrets to spur sustainable high business growth that no one ever talks about. You can reach Eileen at InnerEdgeInternational.com, and you can follow the Lifestyle Business Owner Show on Facebook and Instagram, and also LBORadio.com.
Break. But we'll have more of the Lifestyle Business Owner Show right after this, here on AM 1580, The Answer. You're listening to the Lifestyle Business Owner Show with Aaron and Mayumi Moeller.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Lifestyle Business Owner Show, where we talk about the street smarts of small business. And today we're talking with Eileen Mendel. She is a business strategist, life mastery consultant, motivational speaker, and author. And we're discussing the secrets to spur sustainable high business growth that no one ever talks about. Eileen has been consulting and worked in corporate America for 30 years, and she's taken all of her experience, failures, her growth, and everything, and put it into a business. And the business, if you want to reach out to her, you can email her at InnerEdgeInternational.com. That's InnerEdgeInternational.com. Or at the end of the segment, I will give you her phone number. You know, Eileen, we've had a few guests here in the past where they actually like to talk on the phone and text as well. So Eileen's one of those guests that actually likes to talk on the phone. So I'll give you her phone number so that you can reach out to her to schedule an appointment. So in the last segment, we left off with 10 loyal clients. And what do we do with them, Eileen?
So you want repeat business from these clients. They're your top clients. There's the 80-20 rule. 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your clients.
Mm-hmm.
So that loyal 20, the gold 20 percent, or just the 10 clients, it consists of, you know, will generate 80% of your revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So when you lose one, you're not going to shake up the trees. That's only 10%, you know, of the loyal of the 80%.
Mm-hmm.
So you can replace that person or that company with another good client. However, if you don't have those 10, you're still in an unstable situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, it puts you under stress because you have to find out how you're going to get your revenue streams back up again.
Right.
So never rely on just a handful of two or three.
Sure.
You've got to get to that golden number 10.
10.
Absolutely.
How did you come up with the number 10?
Yeah.
That is after talking to, again, one of my advisors said to me, and I don't know if it was my accounting advisor or which one, but they told me that has been the number that they've seen in the past that has kept businesses stable.
That's great.
And, I can attest to that. I think that because we have some companies that we own that let's say they have recurring revenues, mm-hmm. right, in their accounts. And I know that, our core is the 10. Mm-hmm. We have 10 core. We have a lot more customers than that. But like those 10 core customers that just kind of help our business just be, have most of the revenues that are mm-hmm. coming through. So I agree with that. And the more the better sometimes, but as long as you have at least 10, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like no less than 10.
Minimum of 10. If you have more than that, you're in even better shape.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, because I was doing some math on one of ours that we were renewing the contract, and I thought, well, at least it's only like 16%. This one, our biggest customer. I'm like, at least they're only 16% of our revenues, but I was still stressing about that, right? And I found out when I looked at everything that they're actually only like 10 or 8% of our mm-hmm. revenues because we have built the business, and it used to be 16%. So, it definitely you don't want to lose such a huge revenue source just by losing a couple customers because it can take you down.
Yeah,
real fast,
absolutely.
Because your whole company revolves, the way you hire people and everything revolves around those clients, and then all of a sudden you lose a big one and now there's no work and you got to lay people off and all kinds of crummy things happen. So
speaking of hiring here, exactly. With our company, do you have any you have your business partner, and then do you guys have any employees?
Right now I run a virtual company where I have about 4 different partners where we collaborate.
That's great.
And help each other.
That's efficient.
So, yeah, that is.
Right now, I don't have a payroll to worry about.
Yeah.
With this new, it's been around for, my company's been around for 6-7 years already,
mm-hmm.
where I'm helping small companies. But I've decided right now, I just don't want to bring in a partner, so to speak, or another high-level person. I want to just have virtual relationships
mm-hmm.
where we work with each other and see how, it's also a dating process where
absolutely.
We see how we work together.
Absolutely.
And then we cement that and do more and more work together.
That's great. Good for you.
So that's how I model my current business. However, again, you have to be careful because the laws, monitor these things, whether they're a consultant or an employee,
mm-hmm.
you have to have people that you can work with.
Right.
But you don't have to give them any direction. They already know,
right.
I understand what you need. I can do it. Because if you have to give direction, then they become an employee status and you have
exactly.
to pay payroll taxes.
So what about loyalty, creating like customer loyalty? Do you have any advice on that?
Yes. On customer loyalty, again, you have to identify as quickly as possible who are your best clients that are bringing in that revenue, and you treat them like they are royalty. Treat them, whenever you can, that you send them, you send them presents during Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, if they have an anniversary or birthday coming up, happy birthday or congratulations, your son just graduated from college or high school. So you become a little bit closer to those people so that there's not just a business relationship going on,
right.
but you've got something even deeper going on with those 10 clients or with those loyal clients so that it's hard for them to move away from you. because they now trust you. It's hard, you know, it takes time to build up the trust and that relationship.
Right.
And that is what's going to cement you to their, you know, to them, so that you don't have to be fearful, you know, when you're going to bed at night that, oh, I may lose them as a client. You understand them and they understand you on a human basis.
I agree. Yeah. I know we do. I do that too. I mean, I think it's important. It's funny how I'll send, you know, thank you cards to some of our loyal, you know, customers, or I have a referral program with some of our companies where, you know, I'll send a gift basket or what have you. And it's really amazing how I think that we live in a society. I mean, you probably would agree with this, where we're always in a hurry, you know, and people are in a hurry to get to nowhere. And it's really nice when you can sit at your desk and you get a card from your vendor or your consultant, and it just really reminds you of how it used to be back in the day, where, you know, I'm so sick of getting emails every single minute of the day. When I can open up a card from somebody, I just really appreciate that, and it makes me want to do business with that person even more. So it's kind of like you've taken that 30 years of experience, and I think that's the way we used to do it back in the day, because we didn't have computers, right?
Well, I like the cards. I like the saying, royalty creates loyalty.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
It does.
No, that's good. Well, I want to get to my most anticipated question. I am so excited to understand what the heck this is.
So excited.
I've been talking about it for weeks.
Yep.
I understand you teach something called slice the salami. What does that mean?
What is that, Eileen?
Yeah. I knew we had a good guess.
I invented. It came actually a conversation again with one of my advisors. That's why I strongly recommend the companies hire mentors. They hire consultants or coaches and advisors, advisory team, because they're going to learn a lot from people who've been there and done that.
Yeah.
So anyway, slice the salami. If you go to a deli, think about it. If you buy that whole big salami, it's X number of dollars. Let's say it's $15. But if you buy it by the pound, okay, so it becomes $3 a pound or whatever, you know. So then the person selling the salami makes $25 because they're selling it by the slice rather than the whole salami at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it also applies, okay, so that deli kind of mentality, they can make more money. The same thing, pizza by the slice versus a whole pizza.
Yeah, you don't have to sell the whole salami.
Wine by the glass is more expensive than getting the bottle.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, on the business side, it makes a lot of sense. For the customer, if you start pushing a lot of stuff in their direction at one time, and charging a lot of money, $10,000 for a full program or whatever, that's a lot to shove down their throat, so to speak. So what you want to do is offer the basic framework, just like when you're buying a car, you offer, you know, the basics. Now, if they want, you know, power steering, you throw that in as extra. If they want, you know, chrome wheels, you know, throw them in as extra, you know, so, you know, if they want a little bit more, you play with that, but you want to have a basic framework to get them going. And then whatever they want to add in, they'll say, well, wait a minute, let's get you the basic car first. We'll write you up for that. And then we're going to add on all the luxury features.
That's great.
And so they're not overwhelmed because now they can deal with it.
It's like piece by piece. It's like Costco. Yes. They give you a sample, and then that sample gets you to buy the product.
Even though Costco's selling you the whole big package.
Yeah, that's the whole salami. Well, you know what? Thank you so much, Eileen, for being on the show this afternoon. If you want to learn more about how Eileen can help you in your business, you can reach out to her at www.innerEdgeInternational.com, or you can call her and schedule an appointment at 760-450-6133. She also accepts text. Here at the Lifestyle Business Owner Academy, we're not rendering financial or legal advice. We're not telling you what you should or shouldn't do with your business. We are simply telling you what we are doing personally. And when we come back, we're going to start our LBO segment. This is where you will get an opportunity to know us, and we will discuss how to buy a business, grow profits, and make it run without you. You want to make sure you guys all follow us on The Lifestyle Business Owner on Facebook and Instagram, and you can go to lboradio.com anytime, any day, and listen to any of our pre-recorded radio shows. Again, Eileen, thank you so much for being on the show this afternoon.
We'll be back with more of the Lifestyle Business Owner Show after this brief break here on AM 1590, The Answer. You're listening to Lifestyle Business Radio. When it comes to success in life and business, it matters who you take advice from. So let's get better acquainted with one of the hosts, Mayumi Muller. Mayumi is the quintessential cosmopolitan success story. Born in Japan and raised in the United States, Mayumi's Japanese and African-American heritage has helped her learn how to connect with people from highly diverse cultures and backgrounds. Following her coursework at the University of Washington, Mayumi pursued a career in modeling, working professionally in major metropolitan areas throughout the United States and Europe. During this time, Mayumi cultivated an elegance, charm, and winning attitude that crowned her Mrs. Washington State in 1995 and landed her less than five places away from achieving Mrs. America. Since that time, Mayumi has raised five amazing children while attaining to the highest levels of success in every field she's entered. A President's Award-winning real estate agent for John L. Scott for 10 years. The top sales rep of a Fortune 500 company. Owner of eight multi-million dollar businesses. And the world's number one trainer in self-running business ownership. Learn the secrets to success in life and business from this amazing woman at the Lifestyle Business Owner Academy website, lboacademy.com. That's lboacademy.com. Why build a business when you can build a lifestyle?
Why build a business when you can build a lifestyle, y'all?
Y'all.
I know. Those are my words of affirmation. If I'm ever feeling like in a crappy mood, I just listen to him talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's get to this. This is a great, interesting segment we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, I thought so. Mm-hmm. You know, I was reading an article the other day, and it really was pretty cool. It was kind of very almost eye-opening, like, wow, you know, like mm-hmm. that. I didn't even think about it that way, but it, but I totally see it. So I want to go over the article.
Yeah, let's go over it
with you guys. So basically, the article was a simple way to actually stick to your goals and why you don't need motivation to do it.
Mm.
Right? I mean, this goes against all the things you see on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Action. Do action now. Right? I mean, it's all about like, we're going to be like motivated every yeah. day, you know? And we think that we have to be motivated to get things done. But guess what? They're finding that motivated people aren't any more productive than less motivated people.
Mm-hmm.
So what this study was published in the British Journal of Health Psychology, and it was about how to make exercise a habit. So they actually had 250 people, mm-hmm. and I think exercise is a good example because
it's a great example.
It's hard to do. Like,
yeah.
You know, people don't necessarily like to do it. So they had 250 people. They had three groups. And so let's see, the group number one, they were a controlled group. They were asked to keep track of how frequently they exercised over the next 2 weeks. Before they left, each person was asked to read the opening three paragraphs of an unrelated novel. So that was the control group.
Okay. And then group two was the motivation group, right? Yeah. So they were also asked to keep track of how frequently they exercise over the next 2 weeks. Then each person was asked to read a pamphlet on the benefits of exercise for reducing the risk of heart disease. Okay. Participants in this group were also told that most young adults who have stuck to a regular exercise program have found it to be very effective in reducing their chances of developing coronary heart disease. Okay, that's group two. Then they had group three, which was the intention group. Intention. So intention group. So after being told to track their exercise, they were also read the motivational pamphlet and got the same speech as group two. Okay. This was done to ensure that group two and group three were equally motivated. Okay. So unlike group two, however, they were also asked to formulate a plan when and where they would exercise over the next week. Specifically, each person in group three was asked to explicitly state their intention to exercise by completing the following statement. So the statement is, during the next week, I will partake in at least 20 minutes of vigorous exercise on the day, time of day, and the place. Okay? So that's what they were told to do.
So they wrote it down specifically as to what they were going to do.
Yep.
This was group two, right?
Yep.
This
is group three. This
so,
is intent. The in,
so group two
intention
was
group.
Group two was the motivated group.
Yep.
Okay.
They were like, yeah, just do it. Right?
Do it.
Okay.
All right. So the surprising results, motivation versus intention. 2 weeks later, the researchers were surprised by what had happened to these three groups. In the control group, so this is the group one, which they were basically just told, hey, work out once a week.
Mm-hmm.
They were told to read something that was unrelated.
Yep.
So no motivation to do it or anything like that. 38% of the participants exercised at least once per week. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So then the motivation group, who should be, you know,
yeah.
should be pretty hard, you know, pretty high, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the motivation group, 35% of the participants exercised at least once a week, less than the control group.
Isn't that
okay?
Crazy?
So here's the crazy part. In the intention group, this is the people that wrote it down.
They had to write down
specifically
20 minutes of vigorous exercise on what day, the time, and the place that they did the 20-minute exercise.
Yep. So the intention group, they had 91% of the participants that exercised at least once per week.
Wow.
So what does that all tell us? So simply by writing down a plan that said exactly when and where they intended to do the exercise, the participants in group three were much more likely to actually follow through, which is totally like crazy, right? I mean, you know, you talk about writing down your goals. Everyone talks about that, right? That it's important. But this is a controlled experiment showing that motivation isn't necessarily what makes people do things, right?
No. And I remember when I was younger, you know, we didn't have computers and technology back then. But I remember that when, I would write assignments down or, you know, I wouldn't just try to remember. If you put your hand to the paper, it really makes you remember to do things more often. So, you know, it's like if you see it, you can achieve it, right? So perhaps even more surprising than that was the fact that having a specific plan worked really well, but motivation didn't work at all. You guys hear that? Group one, the control group, and group two, the motivation group, performed essentially the same levels of exercise, right? It was like 38% and 35%, okay?
And the control group was 38%, and the motivated group was 35%.
Exactly. So, as the researchers put it, motivation had no significant effects on exercise behavior.
So we're going to talk about how to follow through with your goals.
Yeah.
So first, deciding in advance when and where you're going to take specific actions to reach your goal can double or triple your chances for success.
Yeah. You guys hear
That's
that?
That's pretty awesome.
Yep. Deciding
in advance. We all ultimately want success. You can't just watch a motivational piece and go, okay, that's cool. I'm going to do it now. You're going to be like in about 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got all these other things to do. But if you write something down, like us coming to the radio station, right? Every week. We're like, if we didn't have to do this, we wouldn't do it.
Right.
But we do it because it's written down in concrete every single week. It's the same thing. As simple as just any kind of appointment.
And when you watch motivational people on your social media, They're like, yeah, just do it. And you're so excited, right? Well, do what? You didn't write anything down to do, which so then you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use the strategy to achieve your goals, right? So you're using the strategy, which is planning out when and where you will perform a specific behavior turns your environment into a trigger for action. The time and place triggers your behavior, not your level of motivation. You guys hear that? Planning out when and where you will perform a specific behavior. That's awesome. So what's the moral of the story, you guys? You gotta write stuff down. There's a reason why people have calendars and vision boards and words of affirmation, because motivation is short-lived, y'all. I listen to some people. I get all jacked up sometimes when I listen to Gary Vee. But then after I go to the next video and it's a bunch of puppies playing in the water, I'm like, squirrel, right?
That's true.
That motivation's gone. Or the food. The next one's a food blog.
Or the Amazon page where you can go buy some stuff.
Oh, yeah. I do get distracted
she
into
gets really,
Amazon.
But she's really motivated to buy
I am
things.
Motivated, man. That is my motivate. Because look it, I'm writing it down. I'm clicking how many I need. So the moral of the story is motivation is short-lived, you guys, and doesn't lead to consistent action. If you want to achieve your goals, then you need to plan for exactly when and how you're going to execute.
And you don't have to be a wired, totally motivated person, right? I mean, if you're just putting down your goals and your actions and what you're going to do, like, and be specific about it, anybody can do it. I mean, that's what it showed right there. I mean, you know, and you asked me when we were driving, you know, and you're like, well, what about like motivated people get things done? I said, okay, 35% of those motivated people actually get things done, right?
Right.
So out of 100, 35% are getting it done. The other percentage are not, right? So bottom line is just because you're motivated, some people, there's going to be some people that's what drives them and they just have this internal thing that's making them do things constantly. But after a while, we all lose some motivation, right?
Right.
I mean, like we all get kind of bummed out about maybe our progress in something or something didn't work out like we were thinking or whatever. We're just kind of bummed out. I mean, you lose motivation.
But you can't have motivation without having the action that you're going to apply, right? So I feel like, yes, you still have to have the motivation, but you have to have the SMART goals. And we've talked about this before in other episodes. And this is when you write down, don't just write crap down just to be writing it down. You know, I want to be a rapper.
So you're going to be a rapper within a certain amount of days. And
exactly.
I'm going to practice
four days a week.
And,
those are SMART goals. The SMART goals are specific, measurable, relevant, and time-bound. It specifically says that in this article. You have to have specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound in order to achieve your goals. So, you guys stay tuned for the Ask Erin and Mayumi segment. This is where business people across the world write in to ask and ask myself and Erin about the street smarts of small business. If you missed any of our show today or would like to listen to any of our previous shows, make sure you go to lboradio.com. And also make sure you guys follow us on our social media on Facebook and Instagram, The Lifestyle Business Owner. And you can also send in all of your questions to lboradio.com. That's lboradio.com.
The Lifestyle Business Owner Show continues after this on AM 1580. The Answer. You're listening to Lifestyle Business Radio. When it comes to success in life and business, it matters who you take advice from. So let's get better acquainted with one of the hosts, Erin Muller. As a child, Erin developed an interest in small business ownership from his family's marina on San Juan Island. From the start, Erin was driven to seek out business opportunities and attain entrepreneurial success. His very first business venture was catching and selling shrimp at the docks when he was only 10 years old.
While his peers were preparing to enter seventh grade, Aaron opened a bumper boat rental company, catering to San Juan's ample tourist traffic. Aaron's first real job came in high school, but by the time he graduated, he had earned enough to purchase half the company. Over the past 30 years, Aaron has gone on to start or buy over 20 companies in the Pacific Northwest, and now owns 8 multi-million dollar businesses. Aaron is the world's premier trainer in self-running business ownership and author of the Lifestyle Business Owner book, which lays out the principles for making a six-figure income by working as little as 5 hours a week. Learn how to achieve your goals from this phenomenal business mind at the Lifestyle Business Owner Academy website, where you learn all kinds of amazing business knowledge. Visit lboacademy.com and take your life in an extraordinary new direction. That's lboacademy.com. Why build a business when you can build a lifestyle?
There you go.
There you go.
So what, people need to go out and go get the book.
You
check
guys.
Check out the book, The Lifestyle Business Owner. It's out on... Okay, we did get some new updated news on the audio book.
Yes.
I'm having to restart over again with a different process because my publisher had problems with the person they hired. So I'm hiring another one. So I'm thinking it's going to be another like 90 days.
And he's good. You
and
guys.
This guy's good. Good. So it'll be totally worth it when it's done. Yep. So I know you guys hate reading.
Sorry, guys. You're going to have to read it.
Yeah, you're going to have to read it first,
yep.
And then you can listen to it.
Then you can listen to it.
Anyway, so the book's available, Barnes & Noble, bookstores, wherever bookstores
Amazon.
You guys go to, Amazon, Kindle, the Nook, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So anyways, check it out. It really helps people in their business and understanding not just their business, but like how to get into a good business, how to buy a good business,
mm-hmm.
and then take that business to a whole new level. To be able to get that company running so that the owner doesn't have to work more than 5 hours a week if they don't want to. And
if
then you can do multiple companies or you can just live a life of freedom.
You guys, this is a how-to book that Aaron has put together the last 30 years of failure, success, and growth into this book. You guys, everything that Aaron put in this book, guess what? We do in all eight companies. We do it in all of them. And if we buy a new one, we assess it, we go in, and we start implementing systems. So it's awesome. Also, our academy, we started an online academy called Lifestyle Business Owner Academy. Thank you all who have joined the academy because we've been getting some phenomenal feedback on the resources, the information that they've gotten from us sitting with them and going through the process. We've done what, baby? Like 110 videos?
Yeah, there's
on from A to Z on how to buy a business, grow profits, make it run without you.
And we're along work with you along the way, right?
Yeah,
so it's not just
interactive.
You don't just watch the videos and that's it. You can like ask questions and comments on each video,
yeah.
And then we chime in. Our team will come in and also answer a lot of your questions. So it's like having a one-on-one consultant, but doing more of a group process.
Yeah, you guys, LBO Academy, go to it and sign up today. So let's get to these questions, hun buns.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Ellen from Austin, Texas, favorite way to follow us is Instagram. Okay, I run a small business and I feel like people are not responding to my marketing pieces as they did before. After seeing the same thing many times, people start to get jaded. How do you find new marketing ideas that are good? First question. And can I just randomly test things, but it feels like a shot in the dark?
You know, I mean, it's going to be a lot of shot in the darks because first off, we don't have this big marketing team working for us to really do the research or the research team to really know what to do. If you don't want it to be a shot in the dark, what I would recommend doing is going onto YouTube, finding out a lot of newer, innovative ways to market a small business locally.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's your goal, right? Because there's so much information out there to do with that.
So we
do that even like when we're doing marketing on some of the social media, we research how to do it better so that we are not wasting as much money doing it. I mean, because we're always trying new things and guessing that, well, let's try this. But you can do a bunch of testing marketing things that then you can put the good amount of money into the stuff that you found that really worked.
Mm-hmm.
So I say the old stuff still works.
Yeah.
I think marketing is just a lot of little things that create
little
this
tweaks.
One. Yeah, little
mm-hmm.
tweaks, little various avenues. You have to do it within a budget, but there's not one right way, and then a way will come back because people get tired of seeing another way, right?
So yeah, mix it up.
I'm constantly changing.
I mean,
you never know what's going to work at the time, but I also like to stay in front of people's face. It's called branding. So even if something isn't getting people in the door right that moment, you never know who's seen something that you have sent out or done that they came in 3 months later mm-hmm. because they had seen it and they consistently saw it. So branding is important too.
Absolutely. Great question. Good answer. So the next one is from Teresa in Corona, California.
Corona. Like the drink.
Like the beer. Mm-hmm. I don't drink beer, so I don't know. I was calling it Corona. Corona. Corona, California.
That was my first girlfriend.
Was it?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, Corona. Wait, really? Is that even a name? No.
It could be.
Okay. Well, it's the name of a city in California. Favorite way to follow us is Facebook. So since reading your book, thank you, Teresa. I really feel like I am on the right path. I can't wait to become a lifestyle business owner. The problem is that I'm getting a lot of negativity from the people I love and care about. They think I am foolish to chase after the dream of becoming a lifestyle business owner. Do you ever get negativity from people and who are important to you, and how do you deal with it? Oh, that's good. I have a way too, but you can answer her.
Well, why don't you answer it? Why don't you answer it?
Well, you.
Okay, well.
We'll both answer it
All right. So basically, it's your life, right? So what really matters is what makes you happy, and that's what this whole lifestyle business owner thing is all about, is doing what's going to give you the lifestyle you want. And other people don't have to live your life. And if they are part of your life, then what you need to do is communicate with them enough that they are on board with you and they get excited about the whole process of what you're wanting to do. And compromise maybe on one thing or another, you know, just so that they're feeling that they're being heard as well. But if it's just your parents or something like that or whatever, and you're just trying to better your life, you only live once. If you don't take a risk, you're not going to get anything. So mm-hmm. you might as well just do it and try it and see what happens. And if there is failure, big deal. So the negativity, don't let it get to you. And the only way you can not let it get to you, I guess, is to mentally ignore it and just tell yourself that, you know, you're making the right decisions for you and it's making you happy to make these decisions. And hopefully they're going to just come on board after a little while.
So my thought on it is that, believe me, I have had my share of negative people in my life. But this is the thing, what I've realized through growing through this process, people are putting their fears onto you. Okay. So it's their fears or their dreams that either they have a dream of being a business owner. They don't want you to become one. And just because they care about us, it doesn't matter. It's not about us. It's about them. Right. So what I would do is I wouldn't really share as much. I would keep the excitement within yourself and then maybe within a small group of people and then show them mm-hmm. that you are becoming a lifestyle business owner.
You were supposed to answer that because that's much better.
You like that?
Yeah, because that's what I do. I just show people
stuff. Yeah, you just show them.
I don't talk about things.
And you don't have to talk to everyone. The thing is, if you don't want to even talk to anybody, then you get a mentor. And your mentor and you will push through it so that you buy a business, you build the systems, you grow the profits, and you make it run without you. And then you take your mom and dad or whoever on vacation with your lifestyle business owner money. You still love them. They still love you. But now you have proof. You've proven to them that you've become a lifestyle business owner. Thank you so much for listening to our show and where we talk about the street smarts of small business. If you've missed any of it, go to lboradio.com. I want to thank our guest, Eileen Mendel, for being on the show. And you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for You're listening to the Lifestyle Business Owner Show, where we talk about the street smarts of small business with Aaron and Mayumi Moeller. You can submit your questions to be answered on the show at lboradio.com. That's lboradio.com. Join us every Saturday afternoon at 4 for the Lifestyle Business Owner Show, right here on AM 1590, The Answer. The preceding program was sponsored by LBO Academy.